Do you know what? I haven't got a clue what I'm going to say this morning, really. Well, I mean, I do know a little bit, but mostly I don't. Because what I want to try and do this morning is to be spirit-led. There is absolutely no point in me standing up the front. Thank you, darling. There's no point in me standing up the front here giving you a polished performance. It's highly unlikely that I would do that, I have to say, anyway. But there isn't any point, is there? Because you will be entertained, but you won't be changed. God's Spirit is in the process of transforming each one of us. And what my heart is that he would have his way with all of us, including myself this morning. That whatever happens here would facilitate what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And that's the prophetic lifestyle. What we're wanting to do here on a Sunday morning, that's what we want to do in the whole of our lives, in every single circumstance and situation that we find ourselves in. We want to say, Jesus, this is a new day. Your mercies are new every morning. Your grace is enough for me. Whatever's going to happen today, I know that you and I together can face whatever's coming. Not only face it, not only survive what's coming, but actually, we can be fruitful. We can be fruitful. Because that's what we're supposed to do. I've said in this place before, and I shall say it again because I quite like saying it, from Genesis to Jesus, it's always been the same. Go forth and multiply. Go and make disciples. It's the same call. That's what it's all about. We want to go and spread about as much of God as we have got to give. And the more that we position ourselves to receive from him, the more that will be. Fundamentally, you know, so many people, and sometimes it's people who are close to us, are not always going to agree with our take on stuff. Some people may think, you know, oh, well, we've done this Father Heart stuff to death. It's too inward focused. Well, I've got news for you. If you go further in, you can then go further out. You've got to go further in to go further out. If you don't go in, you aren't going to get filled. And then what are you going to give people? Because in and of ourselves, I have to say we are an empty vessel. There ain't much going on in here that is just of me that is going to do any of you any good whatsoever. I know I live with myself on a daily basis, and I can assure you that that is indeed true. There are many things I lack. Self-control, bladder control. It gets worse as you get older. But God can supply all my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Fivers, tenors. I'm open to it all, love. Tell you. So in this life, this glorious, wonderful, earthly life that we have, because it is rather, there are so many amazing possibilities that we are going to be faced with every single day of our lives. What we need to be doing is going, hey, Jesus, give us a heads up today. Show me what it is that you've got in store for me today, because I know that whatever it is going to be amazing. Craig Revel Hallward has just suddenly entered the room. Yeah, that was a bit worrying. Don't do that again, Trace. It's disturbing. So, yeah, there are going to be lots of influences that we're going to face. Okay, throughout our life. Do you know what? That is quite nice, though, isn't it? Because thinking about come dancing, isn't that what Jesus invites us to do, really? He invites us to the dance. Yeah, I never really liked that song very much. I am the Lord of the dance city. But actually, you know, there's a lot of truth in that, because a dance is a joyous celebration. It's a romance of hearts. It's a intimate connection, and it delights our hearts, and it delights the hearts of those who see. So, yeah, there's a lot to that. Maybe Craig Revel Horwood's not such a bad chap after all. Anyway, back to the point, whatever that might be. In our life, we're going to be facing many influences. You know, I don't want to live my life being persuaded to do things by my peers. Yes, I'm afraid there's a little run of alliteration about to happen here. So, persuaded by peers, not a good way to go. Other people's opinions, they're always going to have them. We've got our opinions too, so that's not a surprise. But they're nothing that we should be living our lives by, because we're just humans and we get it wrong. And sometimes we're going to be in the press of people who are going to want to push us towards their point of view. I told you there was going to be alliteration. They're going to want to push us into a certain way of acting, a way of speaking, a way of thinking about stuff. And I don't want that to happen, because I want to listen to what God is saying for my life for that day. I want to see what he is saying. Do I always hear right? Do I always get everything right? Absolutely not. But that's what my heart is. That's how I want to live my life. I don't want to be persuaded by my peers. I don't want to live my life being enticed by the enemy. Because if he can, he will lead us down wrong paths. If he'd have had his way, Trish wouldn't have been phoning up saying, I just thought this might be helpful for you. She wouldn't have been doing that. She'd have been sitting at home, stewing in her own juice. He'd have been trying to stir up bitterness and resentment and anger and a desire to hit back. Because that's what he does. So I don't want to live my life enticed by the enemy. You can forget that, chum. And I don't want to live my life being driven by my own desires either. Because that's not a very good way to live, is it? Sometimes I am. And I always feel absolute rubbish after I've given in and done something because my flesh wanted it. Because my spirit knows better. And we need to trust. We need to trust that we are spirit first. It's that spiritual part of ourselves that is going to go on throughout eternity. The flesh will fail. So I don't want to live my life gratifying the desires of the flesh. And I'm sure that somewhere in this book, it says not to do that. So, how do I want to live my life? I want to live my life being guided by God. Jesus himself was led by the Spirit. And I think we'd all say that that's how we want to live our life. The only thing is, though, sometimes he doesn't lead us where we think we're going to go. If you can't find the Gospels, you really aren't reading your Bible enough, are you? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay, so John the Baptist prepared the way. Jesus steps into the river and is baptized. At that moment, says Matthew 3. Verse 16, at that moment, heaven was opened up and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. I believe that that's how God feels about us as well. I believe that he looks at you, Melanie, and he says, Melanie, you are my daughter. I love you. And I'm so pleased with you. I believe he looks at Francis and Marilyn and Vi and Sally and John and Beck and Paula and Des and Linda and everybody else in this room who I haven't mentioned. There is no condemnation. Please do not feel, just because I haven't said your name, Jacqueline, that God is not pleased, Susan, Jean, Des, Sue, Greg, with you also, Matt, not Matthew. He's pleased with all of us. He loves us very much. And Jesus needed to hear that at that moment, because what happens next? The Holy Spirit then leads him. Where does Jesus get led? Into the wilderness, into the desert. Still want to get led by the Spirit? Because sometimes being led by the Holy Spirit is not an easy thing to cope with, you know. It can be very demanding. It can be very painful. It can be a hard road. But God never takes us to a place without purpose. His purposes for us are always good. His gifts for us are always good. His love for us never fails. His presence is always with us. So even when we feel we're in the desert, we haven't been abandoned. And there is purpose in it. It's just that it's not a very easy place to be. I don't know quite how long I have been in a very easy place. But it is long enough in my book. I'm like, okay, this is quite a, you know, interesting, craggy terrain that I have landed myself in or have been led to. But you know what? I'd quite like an oasis. I'd quite like some lush grass to lie down on. I'd like a nice shady palm tree and a beautiful little pond to dip myself in. That would be nice. Sometimes it's not what we get. Sometimes it's not what we get this year, or next year, or the year after. But is your God a L'Oreal God? Is he worth it? Oh yes, he is. He is. We have to trust the purposes of God even when we can't actually see what they are. Okay. Jesus, rather famously, I believe, said, follow me. That's his invitation to us. Follow me. And what? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said, follow me. Jesus said, I will make you. You can't make yourselves. It's not possible. We can try and do all the right things. Do you know what? As a church, we could have the most fantastic programs on the face of this earth. We could do everything right. But it doesn't mean to say that we're going to see the fruit. Not if we're focused on programs. We have to be connecting with, working in submission to and obedience to and filled by his Holy Spirit in order to see what we want to see happen. We've been promised a harvest. It's not going to come through programs. It's not going to come by doing clever stuff. Do we agree about that? It's only by following the lead of his Holy Spirit in the day-to-day, in the every day of our lives, both individually and corporately. Each of us has a call on our life as an individual, but we have a call on our life as a corporate entity, as a corporate body as well. and it will be fulfilled as we partner with the Holy Spirit and look to Him for His leading, His guidance, His empowering. And we need to be filled by His love. This is why the intimacy thing is so key. We cannot afford to walk away from the values. They work as a whole. It's the whole package. The whole, as the Americans would have it, enchilada. It's got to be the whole thing. It's got to be the Father heart. It's got to be the intimacy. It's got to be the restoring of ourselves. And it's got, then you get to the evangelism bit. Does that mean we sit on our backsides and navel gaze, seeing which little bits of spiritual fluff we can extract from our spiritual belly button next? No, it does not. As we go, these things can be done. We can multitask. Every single person in this room can spiritually multitask. We can submit ourselves to His Spirit, open our hearts up and ask Him to heal us at the same time as we are going and pouring out living water from our bellies. Because He's God and He enables us to do things like that. Isn't that wonderful? What good news. So we can get on with everything all at once. It's not a choice between one or the other. And that's where we make our mistake a lot of the time, because we think it is. We think it is. We can't go and do the stuff because we've got to get ourselves right first. Or we haven't got time to get ourselves right because we've got to do the stuff. No. Do it both at the same time. Because He's God and He can. And we can stand it. He can, you know, His grace is sufficient. So, Jesus, I will make you. Who? Fishers of men. And it's you. And it's me. It's every person in this room. We were designed to be fruitful. We can't help it. Try, go on, I dare you this week. Try not to be fruitful. Give it a red hot shot, and next week, let me know how that went. Because I'll bet you that every single person in this room is producing fruit. You just don't necessarily recognize it. We have to learn to see with the eyes of faith. My spiritual eyes don't work very well. If I do this, right, looking out, I can see, I know that's Elaine, and I know that's Sue, and I know that's Francis, because I saw them when my glasses were up. But actually, if I look like that now, you could be anybody. Because I can't see. I really can't. And now I'm old. I'm a grandma, you know. If you didn't know, I'm a grandma. I'm sure everybody does know I'm a grandma. I've got very focus. Because not only is my distance vision very, very poor, now my close-up vision is going as well. So, that, you know, that's just the way it goes, folks. Bodies, you know, don't work like we wish they would continue to do. So looking with my spiritual eyes is not going to be an awful lot of use, either actually or metaphorically. We need to learn to see spiritually with the eyes of faith. We don't see a massive harvest pouring through these doors here, but we have at the moment. But we have heard the word of God promising that that's going to be the case. So we need to see with our spiritual eyes, with the eyes of faith, the harvest approaching. And we need to listen now with our spiritual ears how to prepare for it. We don't look around and see a multitude of people already in this building. But we do look around and see the ones that God has gathered. You know, it's like these old jokes, isn't it? How many people does it take to change a light bulb? You know, how many Christians does it take to fulfill the promises of God for a place? How many do we think it takes? Because it doesn't take a congregation of 300, does it? Really? It only takes people who are willing to say yes to Jesus and to follow him. So what does it feel like, this following the Holy Spirit's lead? I'm not sure I always know, you know. That's why it's got to be an act of faith. There was a time, years ago, and there'll be some people here who remember Jeff Lord. Used to come, and we had a midweek evening meeting. Jeff walked in the building, and I thought, oh, there's Jeff. I'll go and say hello to him. So I went up to Jeff, and I just went, oh, hello, Jeff, like that, see? Just like that. Hello, Jeff. Just say, hey, how you doing, mate, kind of thing. And Jeff collapsed on the floor as if he'd been poleaxed. Honestly, he just dropped. It's like, I've never seen anybody do that before. And I thought, ooh. I hope he's not ill. Well, he wasn't ill. He had got, God had just really powerfully touched him. I had no idea that that was what was going to happen to Jeff. Jeff certainly had no idea that that was what was going to happen to Jeff. And the thing was, I didn't pray for him. I wasn't even thinking particularly, oh God, please bless Jeff. Because it would have been in my heart to bless Jeff, obviously. But I wasn't consciously going, oh Lord, come touch your servant Jeffrey with your mighty power that he might falleth under your amazing. No. I said hello and he went down. So now neither do I know what went on in that encounter. I haven't got a clue. But God wanted to meet with Jeff in a very powerful way, which he quite clearly did. And the rest is, quite frankly, none of my business. I don't need to worry about that. I just need to know that God loves Jeff. And that's what, that's it, really. So I had no idea. Now, at other times, you do have an inkling, don't you? Yeah, oh, you do. Oh, you do. So I met a couple, young couple, and I think I might have shared this with you before. Hadn't seen them for years. It was up at Kingsland, actually, in the cafe. And there was, you know how the Bible talks about the word of prophecy just bubbling up? And I actually felt a sensation of bubbling inside. I've never, ever felt that before, and I've never felt it since. Doesn't mean to say that I won't again, but it was something completely, I was like, oh, this is really quite weird, very pleasant, but just completely different to anything I'd ever experienced before. And then into my mind popped, ask about the book. So, tentatively, I said, you wouldn't happen to be writing a book, would you? And she said, no, I'm not. She said, but my husband is. And I said, oh. I said, because I just felt the Lord say to me, ask about the book. And so she then got extremely excited and called her husband over and said, oh, Steve, Tracy's just asked about the book. And he said, oh, yes, I haven't done very much on it. But no, she said, you don't understand. I didn't tell her you were writing a book. She asked me about it before I knew. And obviously this was because he had laid it aside. And I think God was using that as a prompt to say, you need to pick this up again, because this is something I have asked you to do. Now, that was an occasion where I really did feel the leading of the Lord, and I knew that it was the leading of the Lord. A lot of times what happens is I open my mouth and I start to speak, and eventually something that God wants to say will come out of it. If I'm, you know, That's how it goes. Let's not be prescriptive and worry about it. God has given us a promise. He says that his sheep will know his voice. So when he speaks, we will know that it's him and we can speak out. We have to take some risks with the people around us. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm really sensing. We have to take some risks. We have to be prepared to be uncomfortable. Because it's not about our comfort. Jesus wasn't comfortable in the desert, but that's where he needed to be at that time. Because oftentimes what we're experiencing now is a preparation for what's coming next. So even though it may not be a very comfortable place to be, we need to be in it. I'm right in it. But that's okay, because God is right in it with me. And it's always exciting. There's always so much potential. But it's only when we choose to live a submitted life, a life of a laid down lover, it's only then that we can see that potential released. So I'm going to, Elaine, could you come up? Because I thought it might be good, because Elaine, who's just trampling all over Sue, let's just pray for Sue's healing while Elaine comes up. Because Elaine had this wonderful encounter, didn't you, with this lady over at Gosbeck's, Julie, that's it, yeah. And I knew exactly who she was, because I'd met her only a few days before with a little colleague. So I knew who she was going to be talking about. So let me just ask you, Elaine, when you first met Julie, did you have any idea of what was going to be the end?
Definitely not, no. I didn't even think of talking to her about the Lord.
No. So what actually changed? What happened? What made you think, I need to...
I turned round, because we was going different ways, and I turned round and looked at her, and God's voice said, I want her.
See, now, what really strikes me about Elaine, and please feel free to disagree, but I don't think that you will. The thing that really strikes me about Elaine is that, to me, she's love on legs.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Elaine knows how to love. She has a beautiful, tender heart.
Amen.
First of all, towards Jesus, and second, towards everybody else. She loves. Therefore, she is eminently suitable for any purpose which God chooses to use her for. It makes all the difference. What did you feel when you started to speak to her about
it? Was. I just talked about the view in front of us. It was like a morning like this, and then you've got a big field, and you look across it, and you've got the trees, and they're changing their colours. And I said, look at that. And that's how it started. But that wasn't the same day when I looked back and the Lord said, I want her.
That was another day. Yeah. Another day. So this is an ongoing journey with Jesus and, yes, and Julie. So can you see what's happening here? Jesus says, and I want you to first remember what was the first thing Elaine said there when I asked her how it was. It was so easy. Easy. Because when it's him, it is easy. Okay? I will get onto that in a minute. Just remember fly fishing. I'll come back to that. So, here's Elaine, right? Jesus goes, follow me. And Elaine says, okay. And then Elaine meets Julie. So now we're talking spiritually, not verbally here. Elaine says to Julie, follow me. And Julie goes, okay. And follows Elaine until she can see Jesus for herself.
And she is hungry. She doesn't stop asking questions. The few times that I've seen her, and I want Trish to meet her, because she's got a story, Trish, like yours. And she's got a Bible that's a junior Bible. It was given to her when she was 11 days old, and she said through her drug life, through whatever else she's done, she lost everything that she owned apart from that Bible.
There you go.
And that's the one she's going to use. Because her mind is a bit distorted by the drugs, but that's the right Bible for her mind.
And Jesus made sure that she had that Bible from when she was a child.
Yeah.
And she's still got it now. Yeah. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's how he works. And, you know, what has happened here is that Elaine's walk has just converged with Julie's. That's it. Yeah. It ain't complicated, folks. It's marvelous, isn't it? How inspiring is this? And this is what I believe we are going to see increasingly as time goes on. She's got to tell us something.
The last time I was out with her, and it was a day like this, we looked over the other side of the hedge, and this man came along with nothing but a hat and a pair of shoes on. That's all he had on, jogging. So the next time I see him, I'm going to say, God can clothe you in righteousness.
Amen! Right. I want to see that. No. That's not true. Well, actually, I kind of do, really, because it'd be really hilarious. Okay. I want two people right now to come to the front with Elaine, and I want them to pray for Elaine, because you're an evangelist. You're an evangelist, and we need to honour the call of God on your life as an evangelist.
And when I meet people, I want them to come here. Just come and see what I've found in this home.
Right. Elaine, I want you to come here, sweetheart. Let's sit you down. Okay. Right. You carry on. Three, even four. We include Jesus. Just pray for her. Because this is it. We've got somebody in our midst there who God has used powerfully. We want to bless that. We want to see more. We want this to be multiplied in our own lives, don't we? Okay. Hands up, everybody who's feeling really, really encouraged. If you're not feeling encouraged, ask Jesus to give you a Holy Spirit. Kick up the what's it's because you should be. You should be. You know, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter how let down we might feel about stuff, no matter how challenging it might get, God! And he's doing this stuff with people who desperately, desperately need him. And every single one of us is positioned perfectly for a God encounter like this. They're not all going to be Julie, but there'll be somebody. There'll be somebody. So don't allow yourselves to be discouraged or downhearted by what you see with your physical eyes. Don't let it happen. Don't let the storm fill your vision. Let Jesus be your vision. Okay. Time is marching on. So, oh gosh, do you know what? Elaine loves Jesus. She loves others. She receives his heart of love and she shares it. She shared her bread. She shared what she had. She was herself. She was natural. She spoke about the things that touch her heart. There you go, you see. Over in this corner, we've got a little revival explosion going on. So we want it to spread. Diddly diddly pom. Okay. So, yeah, focus in the moment. Dogs do that, you know. You've got to be in the moment. We can't afford to focus on the past or the future. Because we've got to give ourselves totally to Jesus in that moment. We need to respond with a heart of love, filled with his love and power, in response to the Spirit's leading, not in response to our own plans or strategies. Fly fishing. Has anybody ever done fly fishing? I bet Gordon had. Where's he when you need him? It's not an easy thing to do. My mother-in-law used to fish. She took Steve once. And when she cast, she managed to get the hook stuck in his finger and he never went again. I can't say, but it wasn't very nice, I wouldn't have thought. So, yeah, fly fishing, very difficult thing. You know, you think, oh, you get your waders, you stand in the water, you chuck your line and off we go. But no, it's much more complicated than that, apparently. There's a real art to it. Real art. It takes a lot of practice. You have to practice and practice and practice throwing out the line. You need a lot of time to do that. Queen Mother was very good at it. She had a lot of time. The point is, though, indeed, should you wish to follow it. But the point of it is this. Cast your bread upon the waters. If you chuck a whole pile of bread on the water, you're going to find that the fish eventually start coming up for it. God's word never returns empty. He's the bread of life. We don't need clever strategies. We don't need to be doing tying flies and casting lines and trying to do all of that kind of stuff. We just need to listen to what he says and to share what he says. We need to seed the word into other people's lives. I will make you fishers of men. It's the promise. If you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I will. I think we need to step out. I need to step out. A few years back, you know, we all, well, most of us do know Viv DePlege, as she now is, Viv Wiggins, used to be CEO at Beacon House, has now moved on to a dementia charity. we used to be in a home group together. And one day we decided that we would meet. We met at a couple's house on Dugard Avenue and we prayed together. And then Viv and I went out to the hospice charity shop with the intention of meeting people and having conversations and seeing what Jesus did in those conversations. Now, I can't tell you that anybody was healed. I can't tell you that anybody was delivered. I can't tell you that anybody gave their life to Jesus on that morning, but I can tell you this. We had some amazing conversations. We made contact with people that we would have never seen before. It was a brilliant place to do it. It was God's idea. It's fantastic. It's a charity shop. It's a big charity shop. There's all sorts of stuff in there. So it's a fantastic place to go because you can wander around and look at loads of different stuff and not feel weird doing it because that's what everybody does. Nobody's in a hurry to go. They're all pottering around. So it's a perfect place to start conversations. And while we did that, the other couple were back at the house praying for us. So that's four people for 1 hour on one day. How many are we? About 24? That's six lots of people, potentially, that could be doing that. if they partner with each other. I'm not saying you have to do it that way. What I am saying is, let's ask God for some really creative ideas about how we can just put ourselves in harm's way a bit, how we can live slightly differently, how we can just get out there and make those connections. And then when we go, just listen to his leading. Follow his lead. Be bold. Don't worry. I'm not going to sing. Be happy. But don't worry. Don't worry. You have to believe. You have to receive and believe the truth that you hear his voice and you can speak out his word. So many times I hear people say, oh, how do I know it's God? By faith. You know it's him by faith. All right? Don't procrastinate. By faith. How do we know anything except by faith? In that moment. Now, once we've released whatever it is we believe God has to say, then we may be fortunate enough to hear the testimony of the person that we've said it to. But you don't get the testimony until you've done the thing, do you? So you get the testimony, so you have to take a risk. By faith, you open your mouth and you hope that Jesus will fill it. Hands up, those who know Jesus. There you go then. It's not a problem, is it? If we know him, you can do it. You can do it. He can help. It's not one calorie diet Pepsi. It's Jesus. He can help. Do you know what? It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fun as well, you know. He does want us to enjoy the journey. Doesn't mean to say it's always going to be easy, and it doesn't mean to say we're always going to be happy, but we can always rejoice in the Lord. Okie dokie. I'm going to have to read it now because I've forgotten what I wrote. Hold on. Yes, by faith. Oh, yes, for that. Yeah, being led is a matter of choice. He leads, we choose whether or not to follow. That's true. Not always conscious of it, you have said that. Must listen carefully. Bear with me. No, I've said all that. That's cool. I've said it all. Hooray! Okay, so, who wants to play? Good. Let's do it. Let's listen now for each other. As a little bit of a warm-up practice for listening for all those people that we're going to meet, because God's going to put us in their path and invite us to invite them to walk along until they can see him. Has anybody read Prince Caspian? It's one of the... Yeah. Yeah, Prince Caspian. It is one of C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia. And do you remember that, like, they go back, don't they? But everything has changed. Nothing's like they were expecting at all. Because it's been thousands of years. So their beautiful castle is now a ruin. And they don't realise where they are at first. And at first, only Lucy can see the lion, Aslan. She's the only one. And he says, follow me. And everybody else is going, oh, you're being silly, Lucy. It's not really him. It must just be a wild lion. You imagined it. You dreamt it. And for a while, she allows herself to be persuaded not to follow. And then eventually, she does. And because she sticks to her guns, because she purposes herself to follow him, and not listen to anybody else, the others go with her. And one by one, as they choose to follow her, because she believes she's following him. And really, in their heart of hearts, even though they won't admit it, they believe it too. Eventually, as they all walk along together, they start to see Aslan too. Who wants their life to be a picture like that? That we walk along with Jesus. He says, follow him. We trust him because he's told us that he will make us fishers of men. So we follow him wherever he goes, however hard it is, however difficult it might seem. We follow him. And because we follow him, they follow us. And after a few steps, they get to see him for themselves. Let's do that. And just because we can, let's have a practice now. Let's listen for each other and see what God wants to say to us this morning for each other. Because some of us, we're doing this stuff, I don't doubt, in our daily lives. But others of us, we might not have been doing it very much recently or at all. We might feel like, oh, perhaps we're a little bit rusty. And in any case, God loves to bless us. And he loves to work in partnership with us. So it's always a good thing to do. So I want to ask you now to get into groups of three. Does that sound reasonable? Number yourselves 1, 2, and 3. That's the first thing. Go. If you wouldn't mind, please. Try not to get into groups of people that you know too well. You're not going to be speaking out of a place of knowledge that you already have. We're going to be speaking out of a place of spirit inspiration. Okay? If you can do three, that would be great. Okay. Brilliant. Okay. Now, what I want you to do. Yep. Everybody got a number? Fun-jolly-tastic. Okay. So we are going to pray in a minute. We're going to listen to God. So does everybody remember the keys? Quieten yourself down. And tune into spontaneous flow. And then it's write it down. But in this particular, well, actually, you could write it down. But what I'm really interested in you doing is just like communicating what God has on his heart for these other people in your group. So we will start off people. Numbers 2 and 3 will listen and speak over number 1, right? Numbers 3 and 1 will then listen and speak over number 2, right? And then numbers 1 and 2 will listen and speak over number 3. So, no. Well, please don't do that. Just look. Just for this morning, humour me. Yes, I'm sure you can. I trust you. I know you can do this. You've got it in you, kids. Daddy God says you can do it. So, yeah, it's like a little equation. Exactly, that's it. You've got it. The main thing is that at the end of the... Will you please behave? The main thing is that at the end of the time, everybody will have had a prophetic word or a blessing spoken over them this morning. Because Jesus loves you. Yes, he does. Okay, I will keep an eye on the time. I will give you 5 minutes per person. The actual 5 minutes, Matthew. You may begin now. Okie dokie. I trust that everybody has received something this morning that will bless them, that has fed them, that has encouraged them. God likes to do those things for us, does he not? How wonderful. I just want to encourage you that last Tuesday I had a picture, well, I had a dream in the night, and then we actually had a rainbow on Tuesday afternoon. But in my dream, I was in this room here with all of you, and as I looked around, it was as if I was looking through a rainbow, just like a curtain, a veil that was a rainbow over my eyes that I could see you all through. And I felt like God was saying, don't wait for the promise to begin, because you're already in it. You're already in it. So I just felt that was a real encouragement. And as I was praying, while you were all praying for each other, I just felt like God was speaking to me again about the well. And it was as if the ground here was just bubbling up with water. So, you know, that's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. The kindness of God, the goodness of God, the purposes of God, the love of God, the tenderness, the patience of God, the grace of God, and the joy of the Lord. What marvellous things, and what a joy and a privilege it has been to be with you this morning. Thank you for trusting me to stand here and speak to all of you, because you don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. I don't know what's going to come out of it half the time. So I just want to say a huge thank you to all of you for choosing to allow me to stand here, and I want to thank God for choosing to trust me to put me in this place. It is quite a thing, you know, to have the responsibility for talking to people. And I mean, you all know me. I don't have much of an illusion about my power to influence you, really. If you think I'm talking a load of rubbish, you'll just ignore me. And that is exactly as it should be. But still and all, thank you.